recording first started.
Thank you so much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the GNSO Council meeting on the 21st of February, 2018. Could you please acknowledge your name when I call it? Thank you ever so much. Pam Little.
Here.
Maxime Alzober.
Here.
Rubens Koo. Rubens, I've seen the chat, as noted as you say. Thank you, Rubens. Keith Drazik.
Here.
Darcy Sudwell.
Here.
Michaela Nalem.
Here.
Carlos Gutierrez.
Here. Thank you, Natalie.
Thank you, Carlos. Mary Petullo.
Here. Thanks, Natalie.
Thanks, Marie. Scott McCormick. I see Scott is working on dialing in. Notice, Scott. Paul McGrady.
Here.
Philippe Foucault. I don't see Philippe in the Adobe Connect room. We'll follow up with him. Rafik Damak.
Here.
Elsa Saad.
Present. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Elsa. Arsene Tindalli. We were dialing out to Arsene. I thought he was on the line. We'll follow up with him. I do know that he is present in the Adobe Connect room. Philippe Pétion.
Present. Hello, Natalie.
Thank you, Philippe. Osvaldo Navoa.
I'm here, Natalie. Thank you.
Present. Thank you.
Thank you, Osvaldo. And I think I heard Arsene. Perfect. Thank you both. Tatiana Tropina.
Present. Present. Thank you, Natalie.
Thank you, Tatiana. So Tatiana will be disconnected from the Adobe Connect room for the second half of the council meeting. She has given her tentative proxy to Rafik Damak should there be any audio connection issues. Martin Silva-Valent.
Here.
I see. Oh, perfect. Thank you, Martin. Aidan Fedelin.
Present. Thank you.
Thank you. Saeed Ismail Shah.
Yeah.
Sarah Longdonor.
Present, Natalie.
Erica Mann. We are dialing out to Erica, at least trying to, but she did send a tentative apology as she is traveling at the moment. Jules Helsingius.
Please.
Thank you. Adibi or Adipo? I did see Adibi before the Adobe Connect room. We'll circle back to him. From staff, we have David Ollis, Marika Kernings, Mary Wong, Julie Headland, Steve Chan, Caitlin Tubigan, Barry Cobb, Errol Yang, Terry Agnew, Mike Brennan for technical support, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. I'd also like to note that we have Jeff Newman in the Adobe Connect room for agenda item 6 of today's meeting. I'd like to remind you all to please remember to state your name before speaking for recording purposes. Thank you ever so much, Keith, and it's now over to you.
Hi, Natalie. Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, all. This is Keith Drazik. Welcome to the GNSO Council regular meeting of the 21st of February, 2019. We will go through sort of our administrative stuff, and I'll review the agenda, and we will get right to business. So I'd like to ask right now if there are any updates to statements of interest since our last call. Okay, not seeing any hands. Just want to take a note. I know we go through this every meeting, but it is important that we all ensure that our statements of interest are up to date. So I would ask everybody occasionally to review your own statement of interest as posted, as submitted, and just make sure that it is up to date. Obviously, when there are major events, we mention it, but it is important to make sure that those statements of interest are up to date. So thank you very much for that attention. So in reviewing the agenda, our administrative matter 1.2, 1.3, So we'll go through briefly a review of the review of projects and actions list, and then the consent agenda item number 3. We have no items on the consent agenda. Item number 4 is the council vote scheduled on the adoption of the final report of the EPDP on the temp spec. Item number 5 is a council discussion on next steps for the EPDP, looking forward to phase 2 and also the implementation work of phase 1. Item number 6 on the agenda is an update from the co-chairs of the subsequent procedures PDP. So Jeff Newman and Cheryl Langdon Orr are both with us. Cheryl always with us as our ALAC liaison, but Jeff is with us as well today. So we look forward to that update. And then any other business. We have quite a few items under any other business, including planning for ICANN 64. We'll have a brief discussion about sort of lessons learned from the public comment formulation on the operating plan and the 5-year strategic plan. We'll discuss the public comment on that is open right now on the first consultation on a 2-year planning process for ICANN's budget and operating plan. There are some questions that have been posed to us by the ICANN board related to discussion topics for ICANN 64. We need to talk about those. There's actually a short turn on that. And then the discussion of the 2018 Council, our strategic planning report that's been pulled together very ably by staff. So that's the agenda for today. Are there any additions or edits or amendments to today's agenda that anybody would like to suggest? Okay, seeing no hands, let's move to the next agenda item. I'll note that the minutes for the previous council meetings for the operating procedures have been posted per the requirements. So the GSO meeting of the 24th of January was posted on the 7th of February, and the minutes for the 14th of February meeting will be posted on the 28th of February within the time frame required. Okay. Any comments before we move on? Thank you. Let's move on then to the review of the projects and action list. We could project that on the screen. Thank you very much. So we have before us the projects list, and so there's a few items on here that we should touch on. There's an issue scope in the IRTP policy review is underway. Moving on, there's a work ongoing group with the WHOIS Procedure Implementation Advisory Group. That, for everybody's benefit, is as you probably recall, has been put on hold until such time the EPDP's work is complete. We have an item related to the cross-community working group on new GTLD auction proceeds. I think there's no action at this time on that required. There's ongoing work of the PDP on protection of review of all rights protection mechanisms. That's the RPM PDP working group. We're going to get an update today from Jeff and Cheryl on the new GCLD subpro work. And then, of course, everybody's favorite topic today is the EPDP Phase 1 final report is before us. And we had discussions during our last call on the IGO curative rights issue. There's currently a planning or prep call scheduled with the GNSO Council leadership and Darcy as our liaison to the IGO group and the GAC leadership, as well as some interested parties from the GAC. That meeting, that call will take place sometime in the next couple of weeks. There's a doodle pull out right now to prep before the Kobe meeting, so we try to avoid any surprises going into Kobe. And I think that pretty much covers what we've got on the projects list. So any comments or questions on the project list? There's a few items on the action item list, and then we can get down to the regular business of our call today. Yes, y'all. Thank you. That's I see your note that it'd be good for you to be on that meeting, and absolutely. And I apologize. You were intended to be on that, and I apologize for missing that. Thanks. All right. So let's then move to the action item list. Okay, so on the screen we have, there's essentially, I think, three items just for a brief update here. The rest will be covered in our regular course of business. There's an action item that I have to draft a response related to the council's views on the cross-community engagement group on internet governance. And again, the sense that I have of the group is that we fully support the engagement here of GNSO members and GNSO counselors in the cross-community engagement group, but our view is that at this time a charter is not needed and that the group can continue on in an ad hoc manner, that we look forward to, you know, engaging further, but until such time it becomes clear that a charter is needed, that the council, that the GNSO sort of views this as, you know, a group that is ongoing but not chartered. So I have the action item to draft a note back to the CCNSO and to the ALAC regarding our views on this. And I apologize to all for not having completed this action item, but this is on my list of things to do. So I'll have that for our next meeting. We'll close that out on the email list. Next item is the drafting team on the charter related to the next steps for ICANN procedure handling WHOIS conflicts. That's the group that we've put on hold pending the conclusion of the EPDP's work. And so that's something that we'll need to consider looking ahead, but this one is still currently on hold. Michele, I see your hand. Go ahead.
Thanks, Keith. Michele for the record. Yes, but this is one of those things that just seems to kind of linger forever. We had originally planned to put this on hold pending the outcome of the EPDP, but that was before we split the EPDP into two phases. So I suppose the question we might need to consider, and I'm not suggesting we consider it now, but maybe something just to think about or to mull over, is whether or not we want to consider that after.
I'm getting somebody's hold music in the background. Michele, I heard you. Hold that thought for a second.
Okay, that was lovely music. Nice kind of brief musical interlude. So the question, I suppose, we want is: do we want to progress this now after the EPDP phase one, assuming that we're able to pass the vote, is finished? Or do we want to wait until phase two? That's probably the thing just to plant in people's minds. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Michele. It's a really good question. And I have to admit, I need to go back and review this substantively and try to figure out, you know, whether it makes sense to start considering, you know, the initiation or the drafting of the charter for this group now, or if we really ought to wait until the phase two work is concluded. I don't have an answer for you, but I think you've posed exactly the right question. I see Paul has his hand up. If anybody else has views on that question, feel free to jump in. Paul?
Thanks. This is Paul McGrady for the record. It's sort of a slightly off topic other than Michele said something that I want to make sure that I understand. He said when we split the EPDP into phases. And I think it's an important issue that I'd like to have some clarity on, because I don't remember a council vote splitting it into phases, and I don't see phases in the EPDP charter. So, again, I know we'll talk about this later, but I want to make sure that we, you know, that we're all in agreement on what we're talking about. Since the whether or not this thing is in fact in phases goes to whether or not this next drafting team moves forward. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Paul. A brief response is that I think clearly we have two phases today in terms of the delivery of a final report on replacing the temp spec and a final report pending on the uniform access model. So while we may not have used explicitly the term phase, I do remember some conversation about that during the drafting phase of the charter. Effectively, there are two final reports required in the charter, one on the replacing the temp spec and one on the I think what we referred to as the standardized system for access to non-public data or the uniform access model. But it's a good point, and I think it does go right to the question that McKaylee raised. McKaylee, is that a new hand?
Yeah, it is. I mean, just I think Keith, you clarified a lot of what was said. I mean, just in reaction to Paul. I mean, ultimately, the terminology, as Keith clarified on the list, I think about a week, maybe longer ago, is that there are final reports. It's not interim reports. We've already kind of dealt with all of that. So the question when it came to this conflict with local law issue is really a matter of whether what's been covered in phase one, in other words, dealing with the temp spec, is that sufficient to move forward with that other work, or do we need to wait until the phase two, which is looking at the access discussion has run its course on it.
Yeah, thanks, McKaylee, and thanks, Paul. And on this point, I mean, I think we need to consider, the range of options as it relates to this this implementation advisory group, including the fact that, if we were to conclude phase one and conclude phase two, does this work even need to take place as it relates to, developing a procedure of handling who is conflicts with privacy? Whatever comes out of this EPDP through both of its phases might make this these questions moot. It may not, but I think that's one of the questions that we need to consider. So, McKaylee, thanks for the question, and I agree that it's something that we need to dig into a little bit more. Okay. Any further discussion on this point? All right, and then I think the third and final sort of open issue is this question of the co-chairs for the IANA Functions Review Team, and I believe we are still waiting for that group to be composed in terms of its membership, and then there's questions before us as council about the appointment of a GNSO co-chair for that group in cooperation with the CCNSO. And then there are some questions. I do recall that we were asked by the CCNSO for our views on the question of the composition and whether they they would be able to appoint a CCNSO member because they couldn't find a non-CCNSO CCTLD manager to participate. So we do have an open item or open action item there. And Marika is confirming to me that the IFR has not yet been formed, so we've got some we've got a little bit more time on that one. So with that, let us move on to the next item on the agenda. So back to the agenda document. Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. So we are on to the more substantive portion of our meeting today. Thanks, everybody. So item number three, as we noted, there are no consent agenda items, so we'll go directly to item number four, which is the scheduled council vote on the adoption of the final report of the expedited PDP on the temporary specification for GTLD registration data. And this specifically is the final report that has been delivered to us yesterday from the EPDP working group, concluding its phase one work, which, as I'll just restate, was the work focused on coming up with policy recommendations to replace the temporary specification that was imposed by the ICANN board back in May of 2018. And just to remind everybody, that temporary specification, as required in the contracts, the registry and registrar contracts, can only exist for 12 months. It will expire on the 25th of May, And basically the work of this EPDP phase one has been focused on coming up with the policy recommendations to replace the temp spec. Then, of course, there's the very important work of the rest of the EPDP charter, which focuses on community discussions and the development of consensus policy recommendations on a uniform access model or standardized system for access to non-public registration data. So this is the time for us to discuss the council's next steps. I have sent a couple of emails to the council list over the last, 24 hours, including some last week, about, sort of the expectations of council and what our questions are and what our opportunity is here. So let me just take one moment, of course, to thank on the record, on behalf of the council, the incredible work that went into the EPDP Phase 1 work under extreme sort of duress and very tight timelines. I just want to note our appreciation and my personal appreciation and thanks to the EPDP Working Group leadership team, including our own Rafik Damak, who performed a couple of different roles as council liaison to the group as well as vice chair, to Kurt as the leader, and to all of the participants, members of the group, alternates who stepped in, and all of the support teams behind them that spent incredible number of hours in a very compressed time frame to come up with the report that is now before us. So I just wanted to get that on the record. So the work before us now as council is to consider the final report and to vote to approve that report based on our role as policy and process managers. So the GNSO Council is the manager of the PDP. We chartered the EPDP Working Group to conduct its work, and the role before us as council, as we consider this report, is essentially, was the process followed? Was the charter followed? Are there any procedural concerns? And if not, we should be voting yes. There is not really an opportunity at this point, there is not an opportunity at this point for the council to be engaging in discussions on the substance of the work from the recommendations or in the recommendations of the EPDP Working Group in its final report. This is not an opportunity for us as council to sort of reopen or relitigate discussions that took place within the group. What we're supposed to be doing here today is to consider the report and to essentially make a decision as to whether the process was followed. So let me pause there. I'll come back and provide a little bit more context, but I see Paul has his hand up. So, Paul, go ahead.
Thanks, Paul McGrady, for the record. So a couple things. One, I thought Marie had put forward a request for a deferral on this to the now already scheduled May 4th meeting. And, again, I'm not the king of process around here, but I thought that I saw an email back from Keith saying essentially that Marie needed to justify that with a procedural reason. I don't know that I see that in the bylaws anywhere. I have always been under the assumption that if a counselor asks for a deferral, that's a deferral as a matter of right. We've had a lot of deferrals over the last 3.5 years that if there, in fact, had to be a justification for it and there had to be a vote or some sort of consensus around it, I sure missed a lot of opportunity. So, Keith, could you clarify that? Is it a matter of right that if Marie asks for a deferral, that it is, in fact, deferred to the next meeting? And if not, why not? And then I have a follow-up question as to the actual process. But I wanted to get that cleared out of the way first. Thank you.
Sure thing. Thanks, Paul. This is Keith. Happy to respond. And it's a good question because I had the same question over the last several days and did a little bit of digging and checked with the staff. The fact is that based on the recommendations that came out of the SCI around an EPDP, if I'm not mistaken, basically, the decision of a deferral is at the discretion of the chair. I know that as a matter of practice, we have typically and traditionally sort of respected any requests for a deferral, provided it was a single deferral. I think, as everybody knows, if you defer from one meeting to the next, you can't defer it again. But we've traditionally sort of respected and given deference to requests for deferral. But in the operating procedures, the word that's in there is may, not must, and it is discretionary, basically up to the discretion of the chair. And so, as I noted in my response to Marie on the list, I think last night, we will have that discussion, and I'm happy to hear questions or comments or views on the request for a deferral from today to March 4th. But that's something that we need to discuss. I will say that my strong preference is for a vote to take place today, if we can. I think that the sooner we get the phase one work approved and also, as noted in our motion, sort of authorize the EPDP to move forward to phase two, that, we're basically, I think, setting the stage for a more productive meeting in Kobe if we can have work going on to prepare for phase two prior to that. So I have a strong preference for a vote today, but I do want to hear Murray's, views, and if anybody else, has a request for a deferral, then, very shortly will be the time to air that. Go ahead.
So should we air that now, or will you call on us for that?
We will get to that very shortly. I've got a couple of folks in queue, so why don't you go ahead and put your hand down, and we'll come back to that, and we'll make sure that we have that conversation here very shortly. So Flip, over to you, and then to Michaela.
Thank you, Keith. And if you prefer for me to wait and you start out the discussion about deferral first, that's fine for me.
Okay, thanks. Just stand by one second. Michaela, did you want to discuss the deferral request?
Yeah, I think Michaela, for the record, I'm strongly opposed to the deferral request being granted. I think we should vote today. The rationale presented for the deferral is completely illogical. The EPDP is not having any more meetings. The time for discussion is done. We have been presented with the final report. We need to vote on it. Thank you.
Thanks, Michaela. Elsa, I see you're next. Go ahead. And then I'm gonna turn back to Marie to make sure that we have an opportunity to hear the arguments for before we have everybody piling on and saying no, we should vote today. So Elsa, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Keith. You just said what I wanted to say, and I just want to join my voice with Michaela and say that he's ready to vote today, and we're in support of the vote taking place today. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Elsa. All right. So let me turn then to the – so we might as well deal with this right now. So we have before us a request for a deferral from today to March 4th, which is the last opportunity. March 4th would be the last opportunity for the council to vote prior to the Kobe meeting, which is essentially the timeline that we must meet in order for the timeline and the time frames to be met prior to the May 25th expiration of the temporary specification. And we went through a lot of this in detail in terms of the timelines and the process during our call of 14th of February, so we're not going to go back into all of that. So let us turn now to the discussion of the deferral. We received on email yesterday, I think it was, from Marie Petullo on behalf of the BC, a request for a deferral from this meeting to the next. I'd like to hear the thought process and the rationale behind that. And specifically, again, just to go back to what I've responded to in email as well as what I mentioned at the beginning of the call, beginning of this section, the council's role at this time is to basically review the charter, review the work of the EPDP, and to vote on essentially whether the process was followed in our role as the managers of the policy process. This is not an opportunity to sort of reopen the substantive discussions or recommendations of the report. So I really do want to hear the rationale for a deferral were we to consider granting it. So, Murray, over to you.
Thanks, Keith, and hi, everybody. Before I go to the rationale, I have to join with you in a comment you made at the beginning, which is a massive, great, huge shout-out of thanks for everyone that's been involved in this process. We are very conscious of the man hours, the woman hours, the pain hours of being put in to get us to this point, and we are really, really extremely grateful for that. On the request for deferral that was put forward by my constituency, I understand from my experts who are involved in the team that there's been some extremely good, extremely helpful discussions over the last few days. And although I do understand that the report is now before us for approval, I had, and I'm sorry that if I've misunderstood this, Mia Krupa, I had understood that as the manager of the process, we were allowed to request the group to continue with that discussion, as in to reconvene another meeting or meetings plural. If that's not the case, I'm learning. I wasn't aware of that. I thought we could do that. You asked for the reason behind the BC requesting the deferral. Firstly, I would refer all of our colleagues to the statement issued by the BC together with our friends and colleagues in the IPC, which was updated just yesterday. We are very, very keen to maintain and keep the good faith, collegiate atmosphere of the multi-stakeholder model, which we believe is essential. It's essential not just for the members of the BC, it's essential for the community as a whole, which includes, of course, those who never rock up to ICANN but are affected by how the DNSSDS works. And as you will know from that statement and many conversations between many of us, our main concern is the purposes. Our main concern is the need for consumer protection, the need for cybersecurity, the need for law enforcement, and, of course, the need for IP to all be included in Recommendation 1. We very much need, want, will support, shall work towards getting a unified access model. Please don't think this is our intention to work against that because it's quite the contrary. But what we do need to do is ensure that that access model is based on a specific set of purposes that will conform with and thus allow conformity with the GDPR. I'll pause at this point and call upon either Scott, my colleague from the BC, and or my colleagues from the IPC if they wish to add to it. Thanks, Keith.
Thanks, Marie. And so, Scott, if you're on and would like to jump in, I also have hands up from Paul and Flip. I'm not sure, Paul, if you're wanting to speak to this issue specifically. Who would like to go next?
This is Scott. I'll defer.
All right. Thanks, Scott. So, Paul, over to you.
Thanks. So this is Paul McGrady for the record. So the reason why I think we need a deferral, and I don't know if I need to formally ask for one or not, so if I do, I'm asking for one, is because we're supposed to have 14 days to look over the final report before a vote. We got this yesterday at 3:00. There were changes. People are going to say they're minor, but it doesn't say 14 days unless changes are minor. And I sent this to my constituency yesterday around 3:30, 4:00 here. Less than 24 hours isn't 14 days. The bottom line here is, Keith, it is our tradition that if somebody asks for a deferral, that's a courtesy that's extended to them. And I would hate to see us, diverge from that, but especially when we've not followed our own rules and provided a final report less than 24 hours before a vote. We need to follow our rules and have a vote at least 14 days following delivery of the actual final report, not a nearly final report. So that's the procedural reason. And then on the esprit de corps reason, which is, our last call, our informational call, was significantly rosier than the picture turned out to be. I think there's great concern that a lot of this has been railroaded through. I think the rush to a vote within 24 hours after delivery of the actual final report sort of adds to that ethos. I don't think that's the ethos the council wants to have. I'd rather have an opportunity to, consult with my constituency like the rules anticipate, and either come back and vote no because we don't like it, or come back and say, okay, we don't like it, but maybe there's things we can put into the motion that would give us some comfort that whatever it is we're worried about might show up in the next segment of this work, or whatever, right? But with 24 hours left, less than 24 hours, I don't have time to do those things and to have those consultations. So I would go so far as to say that not only is a deferral a nice thing to do, Keith, I think it's the only appropriate thing to do. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. So just a couple of points in reaction. So just for clarity and accuracy, the document advance notice tradition or requirements is 10 days, not 14 days, but I think that your point about the fact that this final report with some updates from the February 11th version it was delivered, as you said, less than 24 hours before this call. My understanding is that there were no substantive or substantial amendments to the update, but that it was an updated document. So it's not exactly the same as the February 11th. And I think, if there's a request or if we're going to consider a deferral, that would be the grounds on which I think a deferral would be considered. Any expectation that the EPDP working group will, continue to have conversations at this stage or continue work on phase one, I think is inaccurate. The EPDP's phase one work is complete, and the report is before us now for consideration and a vote. And so I think my view on this is that, if we're going to have a deferral, it's because we got the final report yesterday, and basically counselors need more time to engage with their constituencies and stakeholder groups, for guidance on a vote. But I really do want to make a point here is that, if the groups in the EPDP who did not agree to consensus or did not agree to support consensus on the final report, if your intention is to vote no, then what's going to change between now and March 4th? And I'm not asking for a direct answer at this point, but I think it is a question that we need to consider. In other words, are we just deferring and delaying 10 days, and are we going to end up with the same situation, assuming that the final report doesn't change between now and then? It appears that, through the work of the EPDP members from BC and IPC, that you've made your point even within the group that you don't support it. I think really the question is, we as a council are supposed to be voting on process, not on the substance of the report. And Paul, you made a comment of, we might not like it. And I don't know that that's necessarily the threshold that we're looking for. So with that, Flip, let me go to you.
Thank you, Keith. Flip here for the record. Flip it on. I will try not to repeat what Paul or Marie have already raised as an argument. My profound conviction is that there is still time. You've said, Keith, that we could actually have a vote today or on the 4th of March. So there is actually time. Time for what? Because that's the key question. Time for dialogue, I would say. So if we now say we don't give an opportunity to the people around the table to discuss some points that are still not resolved, for which there is no agreement, and for me agreement is consensus, for which there is still divergence, if we say to these people, no, we freeze the discussions because there is that document that is actually coming down to saying there is no dialogue anymore. And that is profoundly against the spirit of ICANN's bylaws. And that's why I would vote to defer. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Flip. Again, I responded just before this call to your email about the question on consensus. And I think as, following the operating procedures and the charter of the EPDP, there actually was a consensus determination related to recommendation one on purpose two. It did not have full consensus. It didn't have full support, obviously. We know that IPC and BC did not agree. But as the degrees of consensus were captured in the report, it was a consensus recommendation that came out of the group, even if it was something less than full consensus. Yes.
Could you then clarify, because I'm really confused. Consensus for me, that is agreement. Look in the Oxford Dictionary and other dictionaries, you will see consensus, that means agreement. That's not majority, minority. No. That is agreement by everybody around the table. Reason the more is that the EPDP report has clearly taken over in the motion. It's talking about divergence. So why do you mention that there is divergence about recommendation X and Y when you do not mention that there is divergence regarding recommendation Z, although there is no agreement regarding recommendation Z? You see what I mean? Why? I'm confused by the use of the words consent and divergence, I guess.
So, thanks, Philippe, and it's a good question. Marika has also just typed into chat some language from the working group guidelines. The definition of consensus in the GNSO context is a bit different than what you've just described. In the GNSO working group guidelines, consensus is defined as, and let me just scroll back up here, a position, I've lost it in the Adobe chat, sorry. From the guidelines, where only a small minority disagree. So I understand your point, your question in terms of the traditional definition, but as outlined in the GNSO procedures, working group procedures, it's slightly different. So let me get back to the queue here real quick. But just to reiterate, as following the GNSO PDP operating procedures, the report reached consensus by definition in the GNSO operating procedures, consensus on the final report, except for the two items that we have before us for discussion that we need to figure out whether we vote as a package, whether we have separate votes on them, or where we don't vote on them at all. So with that, Michaeli, I think you were in queue next. You somehow lost your place, and then we'll come to Tatiana. So Michaeli and then Tatiana.
Thanks, Keith. I think that was me hitting the wrong key on my keyboard. A couple of comments, Ms. Michaeli, for the record. First off, Flip, I think you're getting a little bit hung up on a language issue in terms of how the GNSO defines consensus. I'm sure that somebody can share the working group guidelines which clarify exactly what consensus means within the GNSO context. It doesn't mean unanimity, which is what you described. The reality is that, and this is just going on to the bigger picture, the reality is that the time for discussing all of this is past. The working group has worked diligently for months, have put in hundreds, if not thousands, of hours on this. There are the only people who have issues with a couple of the recommendations in the final report are the BC and IPC, who are claiming, and I consider this to be completely disingenuous on their part, that they are acting in good faith and that they are that they are honest and in engaging in good faith with the multi-stakeholder process. Yet, at the same time, they don't simply ask, but they demand that there be changes to the final report in an email that was sent on the EPDP mailing list several days ago. Since then, all the other stakeholder groups and constituencies have engaged as constructively as possible to try to make tweaks and changes to the language in the report in order to pacify the BC and IPC. To state that there are issues involving the broader community is incorrect. The only people who have issues with some wording in the final report are the BC and IPC. They are the reason why there have been changes to the language in the final report. So if there are any issues around delaying a vote, I too would love to know whether that's going to make any difference, because there are no further opportunities for discussion on this. Going back to further discussions will not change the outcome. Thank you.
Thanks, Michele. Tatiana?
Thank you very much, Tatiana Tropina, for the record. I heard two things in this discussion which really struck me. The first one was allow time for some dialogue. I can only second what Michele said. The last-minute changes were requested by the IPC and BC, and I'm very much surprised that the representatives of these respective constituencies on the council are not aware of this and still have time to read the report, still want to have time to read the report where the changes were actually requested by their groups. And I believe that instead of the dialogue or time for the dialogue, they rather are dealing with the time for coercion. And I believe that I just think they cannot accept this, and this council should not accept this. And secondly, I thought that the absence of deferral or not granting deferral might be profoundly against the spirit of ICANN bylaws. I think that what is profoundly against the spirit of ICANN bylaws is that with a report which is already being confirmed, with the EPDP not conveying any meetings till the 4th of March, hoping that there would be some dialogue or some changes to the report or some time to those representatives of their respective groups who are supposed to know what their groups did on EPDP and what kind of changes they implemented. I think this is exactly profoundly against multi-stakeholder engagement. It is delaying things, and it's created not only problems for the GNSO Council, which could have actually started productive work in Kobe on the second phase of this report, delaying things further and further. With what kind of hope, I have no idea. But I do think that we have to vote today. We didn't request any changes last minute, and we are well aware of the report. So should be those constituencies who request the change. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Tatiana. Rafiq, over to you.
Hey, thanks, Keith, and thanks, everyone, for the comments. I just want to maybe to give some, some reminder what happened in the EPDP team level. When we talk about the CONS designation, the consensus call designation, we did that after we spent a lot of enough time in terms of deliberation. And I do believe we try to accommodate all groups when they had a concern. And when they designated the consensus level, it was done in the way that we split in different panels so we could continue working on some outstanding items till the last minute. And I want also to remind people that how we designed it and engineered this EPDP team is having the representation from all groups and the expectation that the representative from those groups to keep their groups up to date about what's going on. And I think they shared the position of their groups. So it's really different from any other working group in that aspect. So we spend a lot of time regarding that to define that level of consensus and we went through several cycles, and we listened to all groups, and we also have we did something that's not really usual, that we have the statement from all the groups and the EPDP team to express their concern. They, most of them, they support the work, but they express their concern in different areas. But they express it clearly that they want this done. We know that the DC and IPC, they made a minority statement since they are not supporting the recommendations. So I think in terms of process, it was made clear. And we spent enough time in terms of deliberation. I am really worried that this idea that extending we will fix anything, that it would backfire, because I think all groups, they made effort to compromise, and they reach a level of satisfaction that is okay, we can live with that. If we try to move from that, it's not really a good signal or messaging, we should say. So in terms of process, I think we are done. And the report was shared, and all the representatives were supposed to keep their groups up to date. So I think we are in the time that, in terms of managing the process, we have to make a decision and to move to the next steps. I think that's what the groups who are concerned are expecting, is that we move to the phase two. And to do that, we need to get phase one done.
Thank you, Rafiq, and thanks for the additional context as it relates to the, you know, sort of the inner workings of the group and how we arrived at the consensus recommendations that we have before us, and also the two that did not reach full consensus or consensus that I do want to address. And I'm going to turn to that conversation before we make any decision on deferral. But Paul, I see your hand. Go ahead.
Thanks, Paul McGrady here. So, just a little bit to defend my honor, because I know people may not be happy, but the this additional document coming down the pike was within the context of a meeting which had already been set for March 4th, a backup meeting, which meant that we anticipated that more than one council call would be necessary for something this important. That's not unusual. And secondly, at least in my mind, that we would not be breaking with tradition and not granting a deferral, which has, as far as I know, always been granted. And again, you know, this is an important topic. It's, from my point of view, not the time to break with council tradition. So, again, I hear the sort of outrage in people's voices about, well, all the changes that were made were because the IPC and DC wanted them. But all the changes that were made in the context of an anticipated vote on March 4th because the deferral request was either made or coming down the pike. And we had already set a date as a council for a backup date. And I know that March 4th isn't today and that there is some time slip, but we've been told that March 4th still is a viable day. That's why we set the second call for it. So, again, you know, there seems to be a big push for a quick vote on this today. You know, and again, I won't imply anybody's not acting in good faith, but you know, our concerns on this end is that, you know, frankly, we've not been heard, and that the whole thing was sort of a big push. Frankly, I could use the time between now and March 4th to see if there is any way forward for us to vote yes, to see if there are any assurances that we can get from other people around this table that they're sort of the railroad job from, again, from our point of view. I'm not accusing anybody of railroading, but from our point of view, that's what I've consistently heard from people who've been participating in this process, that won't continue in phase two. I don't know if we can get there. I can't promise that we're going to get there. I think a PDP recommendation going to the board with everybody saying yes is much stronger, and I think will be a lot less controversial. I can't promise we can get there by March 4th, but it's my job, you know, my goal to see if that can be done. If it can't be done, it can't be done. Fine. But that takes time. So here we are, right? So we have to decide, you know, are we going to follow the, and I apologize that I said 14 days. It was 6 a.m. here in Chicago when this call started. Are we going to follow the 10-day rule, or are we not going to follow the 10-day rule? Are we going to break with our tradition of, you know, granting deferrals because people say they need more time or not? These go to the heart and soul of who we are and as a council. So I hope we get it right here, and then we work real hard between now and March 4th to see if this GNSO community can come together. And if it can't come together, fine. But if we vote today, that precludes that effort. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. So this is Keith. I see Michaela in queue, and we probably need to draw a line under this conversation. I do want to turn to the discussion of how we handle the two recommendations that did not receive consensus. But Paul, I think I heard you say that at this point, at least you speaking for IPC, and IPC and VC, if we were to vote today, you would vote no, and correct me if I'm wrong there, and that there's possibly an opportunity for you to go from no to yes if we defer to the 4th of March. But I just want to make clear that, you know, again, the EPDP working group is done with phase one. There will be no changes substantively to or changes at all to the final report at this stage. And so you mentioned something about getting further assurances from, you know, folks around the table and all of that. And, you know, I guess it's not clear to me exactly how that would take place or what forum that would be, or, you know, how you move from no to yes between now and March 4th. And essentially what that leads me to is a question of what are we really gaining and what are we losing? And I guess the question is, you know, it essentially delays any discussion of phase two, because we would not be approving the motion to allow the EPDP to enter phase two. That makes the face-to-face meetings, multiple meetings of the EPDP in Kobe, far less productive as it relates to getting to discussions on the uniform access model, which I think is would be a real missed opportunity. And clearly implementation work needs to begin, if we're going to, you know, to get this thing going. So the sooner we can begin all of that other work, I think the better. And so I guess the question is, and again, back to you all to consider is, you know, are you really gaining anything by deferring this 10 days, and consider what you're losing in terms of the ability to move to phase two, because the report isn't going to change between now and the 4th. I understand and I hear your points about the timing, and I understand that you may need to go out to your broader constituencies, to have further guidance and further input. But, you know, I really hope that if that were to happen, and if we were to grant a deferral, that there's at least some opportunity to move from no to yes between now and the 4th. And so let me stop there. Michaela, briefly, and then I want to get back to the point of figuring out how we deal with the two non-consensus recommendations. Thanks.
Thanks, Keith. Michaela, for the record, and I'll try to be brief. Mr. McGrady's stating that the IPCBC weren't heard is bizarre. They had multiple opportunities, which they took on multiple occasions to express their views, which they did. I think he's conflating being heard and people agreeing with. They're two very different things, and I'm surprised that as a lawyer he doesn't understand the difference between the two. Also, as well, to reiterate, if it's a question of convincing the IPCBC internally to vote in favor of the report, that is one question, but framing it as some kind of discussion within the broader GNSO doesn't make any sense, as there can be no further discussion as the report has been delivered. Thank you.
Thanks, Michaela. And Paul, back to you for responses to the questions that I posed, and then we're gonna need to move on after your point. Thanks.
Thanks. So, Keith, you asked whether or not I would vote no today on behalf of the IPC. I don't want to pre-vote, but I'll telegraph a little bit that, you know, this it doesn't look good. As far as whether or not we can get to a yes between now and March 4th, I think it's the same answer, which is I don't know. I don't know what that process would look like. I don't know what further assurances would make people within the IPC confident that you know the next phase would ultimately end up where we need it to be, or at least that they would have a hearing on the issues that would be suitable for them to feel like they've been heard. But what I do know is if we have a vote today, then there's none of that. We just have a vote, and depending on how it goes, that's it. I understand what you're talking about in terms of losing time on the, I guess we'll call it phase two work. But again, as far as I know, there's no deadline on that work like there is for this phase one work because the temporary specification is expiring, right? We'll lose some time, but unless somebody can point where we've given this working group a hard deadline, to get that phase two work done. I guess I'm not as concerned about that as I am about the possibility to work for some sort of unified vote on this. Again, I can't guarantee that, but back in the day, that was considered to be a good thing. It was considered to be a good thing if council could, everybody could get on board, and we could tell the board, the ICANN board, yeah, this is from all of us. If that's no longer something that people care about, then there that is. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Paul. All right, so let's move then to a discussion of the two issues that did not reach consensus. So we have essentially a few options before us, folks. We have the ability to vote on a package, basically the entire final report as it is, which includes two recommendations that did not reach consensus, where there was strong support but significant disagreement, I think was the threshold. And so we need to decide whether we're going to, and it's up to us as council to make this decision, as to whether we would vote or will vote on the package, a single vote, or whether we have separate votes on the two items related, the two items that did not reach consensus. We would still need a supermajority vote to approve those. I guess there's also the option of not including those in the package at all or in the recommendations that get forwarded to the board. I'm going to open this up. I may turn to Marika or, staff to help, sort of make sure that we understand the process here. But I guess my question is, does anybody object to including those recommendations in the final report under a single vote? And I guess the follow-on is, that's the question. Does anybody object to including the two non-consensus recommendations in the final report and under a single vote? So I'm seeing a bunch of votes in or comments in chat saying single vote, please. Michaela, I see your hand. Go ahead.
Thanks, Michaela, for the record. Single vote, I think, is the simplest thing. If we try breaking stuff up, I'm not sure how exactly we move things forward. So I would be very much in favor of voting on the entire package and being done.
Thanks, Michaela. And I'm being corrected by Marika that the term was divergence, not strong support or significant opposition. So the two other recommendations that didn't receive consensus were received divergence. It is not typical in a PDP for the council to approve divergent recommendations, but it is our prerogative under this situation and under this this package recommendation. So just everybody give me one moment here just to scroll back through chat to make sure I'm not missing anything as it relates to this question. So I see Aiden says single vote. Yolf, single vote. Darcy, single vote. Martin, single vote. No objection from Philippe. Philippe says single. No objection from Osvaldo. Yeah, it looks like everybody's up for a single vote, which basically means that we can, you know, basically take care of this with a single vote without having to break out those two recommendations that had divergence. Paul McGrady, I see your hand. Go ahead.
Thanks, Keith. Paul here. Paul McGrady again. So assuming we do a single vote, will the fact that there was divergence on those issues actually make its way to the board, or will they assume that everybody was just happy with them?
So thanks, Paul. That's a good question. I assume that in our, in the report itself, that's clear, right? I mean, so that was made clear, and I think that it's clear in our motion, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe I can turn to Marika. Marika or Mary, if you could please jump in and help me out with this question. Thanks.
Keith. This is Marika. So the designation of the recommendations is something that is done by the EPDP team to help inform the council deliberations and considerations of those recommendations. But once the council votes on those, and if they meet the supermajority voting thresholds, those all become recommendations that the GNSO council is recommending to the ICANN board. So there will no longer be a reference to the consensus level that were achieved at the EPDP team, although, of course, the board can review those in the final report, but these would all become recommendations that the GNSO Council is recommending the ICANN board approves.
Okay. Thanks very much, Marika. Paul, I hope that answered the question. And Marie, I see you've asked in chat, am I right that the IPC statement will be included in the report? The answer is yes. It's already in the final report. All minority statements and comments that were submitted by the various groups over the last week were included in the report. So everything is included. And Paul, I'll just point you to Mary's further elaboration in chat to make sure that you've seen that as far as the question that you asked. Okay, everybody. So I think we're at a decision point on the question of a deferral. And I have to say, as I said going into this call, my strong preference going into this was for us to vote today. I think that a deferral, as requested by the BC and the IPC in this case, now that we've heard from both Marie and from Paul, it's not clear to me how that is going to, change, sort of the situation that we have. It's certainly not going to give an opportunity to change the final report. But I've heard now from two constituencies that they need more time to engage with their communities, and that there's an opportunity to move from a no vote today to a possibly a yes vote on March 4th. I think losing the 10 days that we're going to lose in preparation for Kobe is a real disappointment if we were to defer this. But I really feel at this point that we've received a request from two constituencies for a deferral. I think that if we vote on March 4th, what we've lost is the 10 days of preparation time and the ability for the EPDP to move forward to phase two. But if it gives an opportunity for us to secure yes votes from the IPC and the BC, then we should strive for that. And so I'm going to make the chair's decision at this point that we will defer the vote from today to March 4th. That is the final time for the council to vote on this. There will be no further opportunities for a deferral. And I just want to say, I want to make sure that as we move forward on this, I know this isn't going to make everybody happy, but I want to make sure that we protect ourselves as council from any future, sort of claims of process violations, because the final report with its amendments and with the additional statements that were included, including the minority statements, were not delivered 10 days in advance. that we basically protect ourselves from any claims of process violations on phase one moving forward. So I'll stop there. Aidan, I see your hand. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Keith. This is Aidan. I'm very disappointed with that decision. What we have here are three full stakeholder groups who are in agreement with moving forward today, and we have a small minority of two constituencies from within the stakeholder group who are, in my opinion, being obstructionist here. I think it is highly unlikely that anything is going to change between now and March. And actually, you made very good points, Keith, as to why it makes more sense to vote today rather than in March, because if we are ultimately going to have this this vote in less than 10 days' time, 10 business days' time anyway, what is going to change? What is going to be the point of the meetings in Kobe that the EPDP team has? So I appreciate you've made your decision. I just want to note that I'm really disappointed that it has happened.
Thanks, Aidan, and I completely understand your sentiments. I'm disappointed as well. But again, I think under the circumstances and under the fact the timelines that we're faced with, and understanding that the EPDP working group delivered its report, its final report yesterday, which included the comments and the minority statements and everything that were developed over the last week. I just think it's important that we make sure that we protect ourselves and our decision making at council from future challenge that we didn't follow our own procedures as it relates to the document deadline. So I am very disappointed. I wish, and actually, I would welcome the withdrawal of the requests for a deferral. I'm disappointed that this is before us, but I think under the circumstances, in the interest of making sure that there is no opportunity for a challenge on process moving forward, that at this stage we defer to March 4th. And so I regret that we are unable to vote today, but my decision as chair is to grant the deferral requested by the BC and the IPC, and I strongly encourage the IPC and BC to find a way to support this moving forward so that we can move to phase two. I note that it's really a shame that the EPDP will not have the opportunity in the next 10 days to prepare for the meeting in Kobe, but that's the result of the deferral. So it is what it is, and that's the decision. So I see Michaeli and Carlos, and then we need to move on.
Thanks, Keith. Michaeli, for the record, first off, I fully support everything that Aidan said. It's rare that I agree with Aidan, but on this occasion, I agree with him wholeheartedly. Secondly, speaking on behalf of the Registrar Stakeholder Group and our members of the EPDP team, we are frankly disappointed at the delaying tactics and disingenuous abuse of the multi-stakeholder model as we've seen today from the BCIPC. And just so that we are clear, the EPDP team shall not be meeting between now and March 4th as they have delivered their report. Also as well, that it will be no back-channeling or side discussions involving the Registrar Stakeholder Group or our representatives. All of that that time has passed. If the IPC-BC need time internally within their own constituency to sort out their position in order to be able to support the vote on March 4th, then that's fantastic, and we look forward to seeing them then. Thank you.
Thanks, Michaeli. Carlos, over to you, and then to Rafiq, and then we'll draw a line under this one.
Yes, thank you very much. I understand your worries that the decision could be challenged because we have not respected the 14 days. Still, I think we went into this process with a clear timeline, which has been set externally. This is not an internal discussion of ICANN or the GNSO. This is an external legal condition, which is called GDPR. So we knew we had this deadline, and I fully understand, Keith, your worries that we might be violating deadlines, but sorry to say this rationale is not enough for me to change my opinion. I would be ready to vote today. We knew all along the deadlines we had to deal with. This is an external condition, and in my view, it's our responsibility to respect the external condition first, even with the risk of not respecting our internal procedures. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carlos. And yes, I think this is a unique situation that was, forced on us in by an external deadline, which was essentially created by the imposition of the temporary specification. It gave us the 12-month clock. But a vote on the 4th of March will still give us the ability prior to Kobe to finalize the report, which will give the GAC and the rest of the community the opportunity to consider it, whether the GAC needs to provide advice to the board, et cetera, and gives time for a 40-day public comment period, board consideration, and board vote prior to May 25th. So I understand your concern. I think what we've come down to here is we had a choice between voting today and allowing the EPDP to move forward, potentially without the support of the BC and IPC, or we defer 10 days, we lose 10 days, and hope to get the support of the IPC and BC. That's essentially where we are today, and I think because of the delivery time and date of the EPDP final report, then the deferral is going to be granted. So that's the decision. Rafiq, over to you.
Hey, thanks, Keith. Just I want to say here, kind of distress, I understand that the parameters for this deferral is that we're expecting DC and IPC to check with their membership about their position or the vote, and also that the EPDP team is not going to do any work as it submitted its final report. So we can see this period added by the deferral as just the consultation time. I think this is quite important to, I think you highlighted, but just maybe too much to make this clear. And if needed, maybe just added it as an action item. So I would also be happy also to communicate to the EPDP team just to diffuse any concern and to make it clear about what is next. You can confirm, please.
Thanks, Rafiq. So you were difficult to hear, but I think I got what you were asking. You were asking for clarification as to whether, basically the status. And yes, with the deferral, the IPC and the BC have requested additional time to engage with their memberships to be able to have, a more informed vote. They indicated that they would vote no today or that it didn't look good for a vote today at a minimum. And that there's an opportunity, perhaps, for them to engage with their members and on March 4th, perhaps come back with support. That basically the request was made to have further engagement with their communities, and we're going to grant that. And yes, I think to answer your second question, the EPDP will not be meeting for the next 10 days. It will not meet again until such time we approve the final report from phase one and indicate that the EPDP working group can move to phase two. So I think those were the two questions. And then I think your follow-up question was about, do we need some sort of an action item or a motion to communicate where we stand? And I think the answer to that is yes, but that's the extent of what I heard you say, Rafiq. Go ahead and jump back in and clarify or restate anything that I missed, and then I've got a few folks getting into the queue. Thanks.
No, thanks, Keith. I'm sorry. I used their phone, and that's why. Yes, I think you summarized it accurately. What I asked is just that this is the kind of the parameters for the deferral, so to make it clear. And I said just I would be happy to communicate with EP team just to avoid any confusion or misunderstanding. So thanks again.
Okay, thanks, Rafiq. All right, I've got Carlos, Maxime, and Flip, and then we need to move on. Carlos? Old hand, perhaps? Okay,
I'm sorry, it was an old hand, sorry.
Okay, thanks, Carlos, no problem. Maxime?
Maxime Alzoba, just a small question. The charter for the EPDP team said that the members have to keep their groups informed, and it was a qualification criteria. And if particular members fail to keep their groups informed, they're not following these qualification criteria anymore. I'm saying from perspective of the customer selection, standing selection committee for Genesaw. It's a formal point, but if they fail to inform, most probably they have to be replaced. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Maxime. Your point is noted. Flip, over to you, and then we will move on.
Thank you, Keith. Flip Petillon for the record. Let me first say that I'm personally disappointed and surprised to see some personal comments expressed by people that I thought were friends. I can forgive easily, but I will not forget. That having been said, I think, of course, it is our duty to talk to the groups we represent and to the leadership of the group and the leadership to the members to rediscuss it where possible. But I think we have clearly expressed that it is also the view of IBC to continue the dialogue. So if I hear now that we defer, but there is no time to meet, there is no time to discuss, there is no time to dialogue, then I really don't see the point why we should do that, frankly. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you, Flip. And to your first point, I would ask everybody to please, in the Adobe chat or on the phone, please keep everything civil and professional. I know this is a stressful and challenging situation, and a lot of hours and time have been put into this, and there's disagreement on several points and positions, but let's keep it civil. Flip, on your second point, I think that's exactly the challenge here is that, you know, we have a final report that is not going to change between now and the 4th of March. Our other conversations, possible outside of that structure. I mean, of course, there's always opportunity for communication, but the final report's not going to change between now and March 4th. I think the key is that, the work of phase two is the next important component of this EPDP, and we are, with this deferral, losing the 10 days of prep work. And I think that's really the net of, the challenge here. So and again, I think the process point, as Michele has noted here, is that we have been requested by BC and IPC for further time to engage with your communities to have further guidance and instruction as we approach the vote. And in light of the fact that the report was delivered yesterday, with some additional material, and importantly, the minority statements and the various views and positions of the groups, that we're going to defer on that ground. But just to be clear, the final report's not changing, and March 4th is the last opportunity for us to vote on this, and there will be a vote. So with that, let us move on. Thanks, everybody, for the discussion, and I look forward to hopefully receiving support from everybody for this on the 4th of March. All right, next item on the agenda was a discussion on the EPDP phase two work. We're not talking about that today. So next item on the agenda is a council update on subsequent procedures. So Jeff, I'm gonna hand this over to you and to Cheryl at this point. And thank you very much for joining us. I know that you had expressed interest in joining the meeting during our strategic planning session, but we did not invite working group leadership to that session, but we did want to extend this opportunity to you and to Cheryl before we get to Kobe. So over to you, Jeff.
Thanks. This is Jeff Newman. Hopefully you guys can hear me. And Cheryl, of course, jump in whenever you want. So we're just waiting for some slides to be put up on the screen. I know you guys were just in an intense conversation, but hopefully can keep your interest for a little bit longer because this hopefully will be coming to the council this year. So if we just want to go to start in on it, if you go to the slides, so just a quick update on the current status. We published an initial report in July last year, had a really lengthy public comment period. It was almost 3 months. We've gotten a lot of comments and have been analyzing the comments through subgroups. I should be speaking that this is with respect to what we call work tracks 1 through 4, which is everything except for the use of geographic names at the top level, which is work track 5. Work track 5 did release their own supplemental initial report in December, and the comment period closed, was extended and then closed just a couple weeks ago. And now we are also starting the substantive review on those comments. In addition, work tracks 1 through 4, the remaining work tracks, did release a supplemental initial report in October for 5 issues that weren't as fully addressed in the initial report, or in some cases not at all. And so we wanted some other things to go out for public comment. We are also reviewing those comments now as a full working group. So we can go to the next slide, please. So the subgroups that are reviewing the comments for the work track, formerly work tracks 1 through 4, we are almost completed in reviewing those comments. In fact, one subgroup is complete. The second subgroup will either be complete today or next week, and the third one just shortly after COVID. Those subgroups were really just clarifying and reviewing the comments for the full group discussions that will start to take place on the substance of those recommendations. What we did during the triage, which Cheryl likes to call it, is really to see what patterns there were with the comments, what areas there's agreement, what areas there's divergence, and other areas where there's some new ideas presented for the full working group to discuss. The goal then is to discuss these with the full working group, and we'll talk about the timeline on the next couple slides. But what we also hope is that we are going to be able to convene after Work Track 5 finishes talking about the comments and comes up with some recommendations to actually join with the Work Track, formerly Work or current Work Track 5, with the rest of the group to deliver a final report to the council. So looking at a time, I think the timeline slides are next, if we go there. This is our the goal that we're working towards if there is no additional public comment period. The next slide after this one, we'll get to in a second, has a contingency for an additional public comment period. But as you can see here, this really anticipates getting a final report to the council by the beginning of Q3 in 2019, this year. So that's not that far away. And the next slide, which indicates an alternate, if we did have an additional public comment period, which we're not saying definitively that we will at this point, but if we did have an additional public comment period, as you can see, that would add at least another quarter and a half or so to the timeline. But still, as Cheryl just posted, our intent is to get this done this year. So by Q4, the end of Q4, or actually mid Q4 this year, so that it can be before the council. Just a note on if we do have an additional public comment period, that will be limited to those areas which truly were not out for public comment before or could not have been foreseen or addressed before. So in other words, if there were four options presented in the initial report and we end up choosing one of those options, the fact that we hadn't chosen an option in the initial report is not a basis to have an additional public comment on it. But if we choose a new option five that wasn't really foreseeable, and that by foreseeable I mean, you know, wasn't a compromise with some of the other solutions, but something truly new, then that would be appropriate in our view for an additional public comment. Go to the next slide. And so we obviously, like all PDPs, we have our challenges. There's clearly going to be areas, not unlike the ePDP, that there's not going to be a consensus to recommend a change. There may be some agreement or a good majority of people that agree that a change should be made, but there may not be a consensus on how to or what that change should actually be. Or another way to say it is there may be a majority view that there's a problem with the way it was done the last time, but there's no consensus on any one solution. And the default that we've been working towards from the very beginning has been that the status quo, meaning whatever happened in 2012, whether it was part of the policy or not, but whatever actually happened in 2012, that's the default. Now, setting that default early on was both good and bad, right? It basically gave some predictability to the group as to what would happen if we couldn't agree. But there are some that have said that this is definitely a disincentive to actually compromise. Right. If you didn't mind what happened in 2012, then, you know, knowing that the default is that 2012 implementation, then is there really an incentive to compromise or come up with a other solution? So this is just something that I'm sure will percolate up to the GNSO. I should also state at this point that thanks to Flip and Elsa, we have been, and of course all of you, for guidance from your strategic meeting in January to make sure that the roles of the GNSO Council liaisons are emphasized and discussed and make sure that every working group member understands and knows that they can go to the liaisons and the reasons why they can go to them. And we just went over that again on the last full working group call. So one of the things that we really need to consider, and by we, I mean really you all, is that there may be an agreement that there was an issue, but consensus may not be reached on what that solution may be. And so then the question is that something for the GNSO Council to weigh in on? Is that something that the GNSO Council gives the board permission to make a decision after it provides the board with full information from the working group? Is the council and the community comfortable with the board just making a decision based on what information it gets? Some dependencies on delivering our some dependencies for the next round and not necessarily delivering our report. We have seen, and everyone's seen, the final recommendations of the CCT review team, which suggested a couple items for this PDP. We know this hasn't been approved yet by the board. We know that the board is still considering an implementation plan of this, but to be proactive, we have addressed these questions in our, or we've addressed those in our discussions on the comments and will address those in the final report, even though they have not quite been approved, but we just wanted to be proactive and not have to wait until everything was finally approved. If we can go to the next slide. You know, obviously we're still, we are not, the rights protection mechanism PDP is still going on. Cheryl and I and the leadership, the full leadership team of the subsequent procedures PDP don't believe that this is a dependency for the next round. Certainly not a dependency for our final report, but this is something that the council, I'm sure, will be faced with if there's no final phase one report from the RPM PDP. There is and has been discussion on the name collision analysis project, but that effort, from what we've been told, is on hold. So that's not that's not a dependency for us at this point. And there is the new, the IDM variant TLD implementation. So ultimately, we do not believe that any of these serve as a dependency for the delivery of our final report or concluding our policy development work. But we obviously wanted to present that status to you all. And, you know, if there's something out of the EPDP that needs to be fed into our PDP, then to the extent that we're still up and running, we'll obviously do our best to incorporate that. And I think there may be one last slide. And so this is just, you know, what happens after we deliver our final report. You probably already know all of this, but essentially, you know, the next step, our expected next step, would be that the GNSO Council would adopt the report, send it to the board. The board would do a comment period and, of course, solicit comments from the other SOs and ACs, and hopefully start implementation. Our goal, and the question we brought up at the Barcelona meeting, is that we can start implementation work even when the board is considering the policy final report, even if it's starting in some informal way, but not to lose, you know, 4 to 6 months of time preparing for the next round, because even at the schedule we're looking at now, it's going to be nearly a decade between rounds, and that's kind of a long time. So I think that's it. There may be some resources. So other than that, I just really want to turn it over for questions.
Thanks very much, Jeff. This is Keith. Hi, everybody. Thanks for the report. Lots of information there, very detailed, and obviously a lot of work going on in that group across the five work tracks. So let me just see if there are any questions. Would anybody like to pose any questions to Jeff and Cheryl related to this update or the subsequent procedures work that's ongoing? And while folks are thinking, maybe, Jeff, I'll pose a question for you, and it relates to, you know, sort of the timing of the initial report, the timing of the final report, and sort of the levels of consensus assessed and recommendations made. So I guess directly the question is, you know, coming out of the initial report, the initial report didn't have a lot of recommendations in it, and there weren't much in the way of consensus calls. It really was a document that sought, you know, further input from the community. And coming out of the initial report, as you approach developing the final report, you know, to the extent that there's new things that are being proposed as recommendations, do you anticipate having another comment period at some point? I know you and I had a conversation about this during our most recent sync up, but I think for everybody's benefit, it would help if you could just provide a little bit more, you know, elaboration there. Thanks.
Sure. Thanks, Keith. This is Jeff. I think it'd be interesting because I think the council may want to consider the nature of an initial report and consider in the future perhaps not requiring the taking of consensus positions. It was our position both when Aubrey and I were running it, and then when Cheryl took over when Aubrey went to the board, that to take a consensus call prior to an initial report sends the wrong message of, hey, you know, we're not really open to the public comments, but also I think it's really premature to kind of lock yourself into a position. But that said, I think what I said before still holds, which is that if the recommendation was not foreseeable or presented as an option, then yes, we would put that out for public comment. But if there were three options, let's say, that were in the initial report and the group chooses one of those or a hybrid of those two, then it would not be the expectation that that would go out for another public comment period, because each of the groups did have an opportunity and the public had an opportunity to make comments. The fact that we didn't select it as the recommendation shouldn't change any of the comments that were that came in. So that's currently the view. Of course, you know, we're going to discuss this as a full working group, and that's just kind of the leadership team position at this point.
Thanks, Jeff. Anybody like to get in at this point, feel free to put up your hand. I'm not seeing much in the way of hands up in the Adobe room. If anybody on the phone would like to speak, jump in. But Jeff, just going back to the first point you made about, you know, considering the council might consider moving forward in the chartering of PDP working groups, not having a requirement for a consensus call prior to the initial report. That's, I think, certainly something we'll need to talk through and think through. But I think certainly to the extent that if there wasn't a consensus call during the first phase prior to the initial report, it makes it all the more urgent or important that, you know, that consensus call take place, you know, following the initial report and following the incorporation of comments that were received. So it's sort of like if and then. So Paul McGrady, I see your hand. Thank you. Go ahead. Paul, if you're speaking, we can't hear you. Paul, you may be having some audio issues. Can somebody check Paul's line, please?
I'm sorry about that, Paul McGrady.
There you go.
I pushed the speaker button instead of the mute button. So that tells you, how foggy I am. Sorry about that. So I have a question for Cheryl and a question for Keith. Cheryl, and I apologize for not knowing this off the top of my head, but the dependencies that are referenced in the charter for this PDP in relationship to the RPM work, are those specifically these one of the RPM, or are they more general? And then a question for Keith, is it within our power to hand down a hard deadline to the RPM PDP so that we aren't fretting about dependencies? Thanks, guys.
You want me to jump in, Keith? Cheryl here.
Sure. Thanks, Cheryl. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. Cheryl Langdon, all for the record. Thanks for the question, Paul. In the charter, it envisaged that there may be dependencies between the activities of the two working groups. It did not make any assumptions that if there were, what they were, but it did envisage that there may be. And so Jeff and I and Avery before us have been very keen to ensure that we've been cognizant that there may be any such dependency. And as you know, we've kept very close interactions going on with the leadership of the RPM Working Group and council leadership throughout all of our time as well, that includes discussion on that matter. And Jeff and I still hold to the fact that at this stage we see no such dependency. Thank you. Jeff, did you want to embellish?
Nope, you got it. Thanks.
Thanks, Cheryl, and thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Paul, for the question. And my response to your question is, I think in order for us to impose a deadline as council, we would need to recharter or reopen the charter of the group, is my sense. And happy to be corrected with that point or on that point by staff if I got it wrong. But I think we would, in the event there were dependencies and we decided that there needed to be some, you know, pressure and deadlines, we'd need to reopen the charter. Hope that answers the question. Okay, any other questions or comments before we move on? Okay, Jeff and Cheryl, thank you very much for this update. Jeff, thanks for joining us today during our council meeting, and I look forward to seeing you both for further discussions in Kobe. Much appreciated. Okay, so with that, let's move on to the next item on our agenda. We have approximately 15 minutes left in the call today. We have several items under any other business. And if we could put the agenda back up on the screen, thank you. And so the first item is 7.1, ICANN 64 planning. As you can imagine, we, the leadership team working with staff, are busy helping to plan for the GNSO Council working sessions and also the meetings that we take place and the interactions that we will be having with GAC and board, so, you know, and the different groups. So just wanted to note that work is underway, and you'll be seeing some additional information coming out in the near future. Natalie, is there anything that you'd like to speak to specifically with regard to ICANN 64 planning?
Thanks, Keith. This is Natalie. Not at this time. Just to mention, as Keith said, you'll all be receiving informational emails close to the time so they don't get drowned in your inboxes. And, of course, if you have any questions regarding meeting sessions, venue options, et cetera, you may just write to the Genesis Secretariat and we'll be happy to help.
Great. Thanks very much, Natalie. Questions or comments on ICANN 64? Very good. Next item on the agenda, 7.2. I put this on the agenda, basically said lessons learned from the process that we just went through for council public comment formulation on the ICANN draft FY20 operating plan and budget and the five-year operating plan. So I just wanted to put this on the agenda to note, as I said in my email, as we were going back and forth on the drafts that were prepared by the SCBO, we all as councilors need to make sure that we are providing input and feedback to drafts that come out of any group, but in particular, I think our standing committee on the budget and operations. We need to make sure that the group, as it does its work, has appropriate guidance and appropriate views, and that if a draft is submitted or circulated to the group, that we all take the opportunity to look at that early and to provide early response and early feedback to the group. I know we sort of had a process there at the end that was a little bit messy. I'll take responsibility for that. But we were able to submit final comments on both of those. I went through the good initial work of the SCBO and edited it to ensure that it could be supported by all counselors. And so those documents were submitted. So, again, I think there was a question on the list, I think, posed by Aiden about, you know, we need to discuss, or maybe it was not on the list, maybe it was just an email to the SCBO, I apologize, but basic question, you know, questions about, you know, how independent the SCBO should be or how much independence should it have in terms of drafting comments. And I think that's a good question to be asking. At the end of the day, you know, the comments that we submit must be supported by the entire council. And we as counselors need to make sure that we're providing appropriate input to that group so they have the guidance that it needs to develop those. So I don't know if there's any further discussion needed on that, but I just wanted to note that for the record that we you know, we all could do a better job than we did on this last round of providing input to the group. Okay, next item on the agenda, public comments. There's a public comment period open on a consultation on a two-year planning process. This is something that we need to take a look at and we need to review. I'm not sure if there's any documentation that we can present on the screen, but I want to flag this for everybody, and we have a fairly short period of time to respond to this. I know that Barry sent a very detailed email on this, providing some context, and I'm not sure if Barry, yeah, Barry's on the call. Barry, could you, are you available to speak just, you know, a couple of minutes on this and provide everybody the context about what we need to be considering here? Thanks, Barry. Go ahead.
Thank you, Keith. Barry Cobb for the record. As Keith mentioned, we did the FY20 draft budget as well as the five-year operating plan. At the same time, this first consultation on the two-year planning process was launched. When I first took a look at it, I thought it was more in line with ICANN.org's try to put forward a two-year budget planning process as well. So, for example, FY21 could include FY21 and 22. But after reviewing the two-year planning process document here, it's really more about project planning, workload management, operational planning, and it seemed to fit very squarely right into a lot of the things that were being discussed at the GNSO Council in regards to its strategic planning session, as well as some items on the PDP 3.0. So I do think that this is an important comment that the Council should vote on, or I'm sorry, create comments for. And in the light of understanding or helping the council to build a pipeline of current and planned activities down the road, and that will better inform our draft budgeting process, as well as how the council and its associate groups can plan from a financial perspective and make sure that that aligns with the operational perspective, and try to at least front run some of resources that may be required for the working groups that are either in flight or in early parts of the planning pipeline. So definitely much more about operational planning 2 years out than it is about budget planning, but eventually both of these will be married together in future consultations. Last thing I'll say, you know, the title is specifically the first consultation on 2-year planning process. I haven't gotten more details about what the second or maybe third consultation may look like, but I hope that's helpful. Thank you.
Yes, thanks very much, Barry. Much appreciated, and thanks for bringing our attention to this. I guess the only other question I had is, can you remind us what the timeline is that we're on for this? I recall that it's fairly tight.
Sorry. So we did ask for an extension, and Xavier announced that it will close on March 5th as opposed to yesterday. So we do have a couple of weeks to get a draft in front of the council.
Very good. Thanks, Barry. So what I'm going to do on this point is ask, we'll take it to the list, but I'm going to ask for some volunteers from council to help coordinate the response on this. I think there was a question about whether this is, sort of appropriate for the SCBO or if this is something that we need, sort of a broader participation and input. And I'm sort of, open to either. But I think this is one that that we as a council need to take seriously. As Barry noted, it does relate to and impact, sort of the discussions we've been having around PDP 3.0 and, some of the expectations that we have and plans that we have. So let's take this one to the list in the interest of time, but I thought it was important to flag this, and thanks to Barry for providing the detailed explanation. So moving on, the next item is the ICANN 64 board discussion topics. Apologies, we're running short on time here. Just got 5 minutes left before the top of the hour. Getting some questions up on the screen. Okay, so we have received these questions from the board as we look towards the GMSO Council meeting with the board in Kobe. And so I'm not going to read the questions in the interest of time, but this is something that we need to focus on as a council. We've obviously been busy with lots of other things, including EPDP efforts, but this is something that we need to develop some responses to. Natalie, can you remind me what the deadline is that we're looking at? End of this week? Yeah, so we've just got a couple of days to try to develop this. Sorry, Natalie, is it the deadline to send a response to the board the end of the week, or deadline for input from council the end of the week?
Sorry, Keith, this is Natalie. Yeah, no, board support have said that we have till Friday close of business to send our input.
All right. So I will take an action item to draft some language in response to these questions, and please, everybody, watch the email list, watch the council list for my draft, and provide feedback so I can, or so we can deliver a response back to the board. And this is essentially just a reminder, just preparatory work for the meeting that we'll have face-to-face with the board in Kobe. So watch the email list for my draft. Comments and edits always welcome. Okay, and then finally, the last item on the agenda is 7.5, a reference to the report that was developed from our strategic planning session in January. Particular thanks to Steve and Marika and Natalie and staff for all of the work that went into this very detailed report. The leadership team has had a chance to review it, and we feel it's in a great place, and very well captures the sort of the detailed discussions and the spirit of the strategic planning session. So it is now up on the screen. And Natalie, can you remind me, has this been circulated to the council list yet? And if not, it will be soon. Maybe that's a question for Steve.
This is Steve from staff. It was actually just shared, I think, yesterday, I believe. I was thinking that hopefully we'd be able to set a deadline for input, because as I think counselors are aware, sharing this report is a requirement for the ABR, additional budget request. So I was thinking early next week, if that seems agreeable to Keith and the rest of the council. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve, and thanks for the reminder about the deadline and the obligation that we have with regard to the report. So, let's set the Tuesday next week for any feedback or a response, any comments that you might have on this report. Again, it's a really good summary. It's a really good report that includes quite a bit of detail. I encourage everybody to read it, and if you do have any feedback, let's make sure we get that to Steve by Tuesday of next week. All right. Thank you for that. All right, so we're in any other business, so I'm just going to ask if there's any other business. We've got just a minute left. Would anybody like to raise any other issues? Any other comments? All right. So I will wrap up this meeting. Thanks to everybody. I appreciate your time. And thank you for your patience and understanding as it relates to the deferred motion and the deferred vote on the EPDP Phase 1 final report. We will have a call on the 4th of March. It will give everybody time to socialize the latest version with their communities, and I look forward to the approval of the Phase 1 final report on the 4th of March. So thanks to everybody for your time, and have a great next 10 days. Conclude the call.